was a message. There was a big billboard up by Brookside, isn't it, Brother Scott? It says, don't forget Grandpa, or you forgot Grandpa, something like that. You seen that one? And I said, there's a message there, too. So I got my message off that billboard. So you got to, if you're going to be up here, you need to be, keep your eyes open. Anyway, so I thought, don't forget, since I'm a grandpa, I said, yeah, that resonates with me. So I was thinking, you know what? There's things that we should remember. And I think me and Brother Scott was talking about that one time. He was telling me about his mother-in-law who's battling dementia. And my father battled the same thing. And it's really sad when you can forget your name. You can forget where you live. I've seen people on TV went for a walk, and they don't get home. So, you know, I was thinking, while we have our full mind and full faculties, I think there's things that God wants us to remember. So that's kind of like the message title, I guess. I'm not a professional at this. Anyway, the theme verse will be Psalms 9:7. Psalms 9:7. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. So, would you agree with me that America is in trouble because we have forgotten God? I mean, I just can't watch the TV no more. I mean, it's out of control. I said, we expect that from the lost, the wicked, right, that don't even know the Lord. But we should not expect that from the found, the saved, the born-again believers. They shouldn't be out there acting like the lost. Some are, and I think some are being faithful like we're supposed to be. But, you know, I was thinking of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, the Lord would have spared those two cities if he could have just found 10 righteous people, right? I mean, it started at 50, and, you know, Abraham, he was a good getting it down, but he didn't get it down far enough. So the Lord still destroyed the cities because they couldn't find 10 righteous people. They had to pull Lot and his wife and two daughters out. Anyway, just recently we learned about Demas, who forsook, is that right? Okay, because he loved the world. And from what I can find about Demas, there's not much in there, but he seemed like at one time he was straight, so I believe he was a believer. So even a believer can get straight, right? I mean, that's why we got to stay close to the Lord. Demas forgot his first love. Who's that? Jesus. Amen. Jesus. Jesus is our first love. And that's what the commandment said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind. I'm paraphrasing. But that's the same thing Jesus told the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, right? He said that they had forgot their first love. So let's don't forget our first love. Okay. Everything we do is for naught if we forget why we're doing it and for whom we're doing it. I mean, if we're not living a life pleasing to the Lord, we're wasting our time. So, man says all the time, I will forgive, but I will not forget. I remember one time I offended my wife, so I asked her if she would forgive me, and she said, sure. And then she started writing on a piece of paper, and I said, what you writing on? She says, I'm writing the date, the time. And I said, oh, you're going to use that against me in the future. I knew she was. So, I mean, we're all human, right? We do that. Sometimes we bring something up we shouldn't, right? Because we're supposed to forget and let it go. Well, God's good at letting go. It says, when we get saved, God says, I will forgive and remember your sins no more. Isaiah 43:25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. For his own sake he does it. And will not remember thy sins. I mean, that's a blessing right there, right? Because I had piled up a lot of sins, and I was only 20 when I got saved, but I thank God for the blood. Hebrews 10:7, Bible says, and their sins, as God, and iniquities will I remember no more. It's not so much that God forgets them, he just chooses not to remember them. And then he's higher than us. I said, people can't do that all the time, or most of the time we can't do that. But he does that because our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. So there are things that God wants us to remember. And I come up with two good, real short definitions of remember and forget. Remember is to retain in the memory, and forget is to cease to remember or have a poor memory. So they're the opposites. Proverbs 10:7, it says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. So our memories, we think of all the good things that God has done for us. That's why we have blessed memories, right? Ever since, I really can't remember a whole lot before I got saved. It seemed like everything happened, and I remember, I guess because of good things, after I got saved. So all my thoughts go back to when I was a young guy. And me and my wife, we were serving in the bus ministry, and I saw pictures. We have pictures. I was looking at pictures, and we was like lined up with all these kids around the bus, and my daughter was real small then. But that's a lot of good memories. You know, you think about serving the Lord with your wife and daughter when she was small. So we got a lot of good memories when we're saved. Two things I would ask you to remember. The name of the Lord. Psalms 20, verse 6 and 7. And it says, now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We remember his name because he's our help, right? I mean, without him, we can't make it. That's just the bottom line. So remember the name of the Lord, and remember God's word. Psalms 119, 15, and 16, and that's what we live our lives by, or we should. If we live by God's word, we'll have a good life. I mean, we'll still have troubles and trials, but he'll be there to help us, and you'll have joy. No matter what you go through, I've been on the earth almost 64 years, a lot of sorrows, but always joy has been there. And we have a hope. We have a hope in the Lord. So 119, 15, 16 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So a big, big mistake would be for us to forget God's word. So let's look at some other things we need to remember. Since the young people are here, I had something written just in case young people showed up. If not, I was going to have to go to the next page. You got to be prepared when you come up here. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's no better time to get saved than when you're young. Statistically, more people get saved at a younger age than they do at an older age. And you say, why is that? You did say that, right? Why is that? Because when we get older, we kind of like, life hardens us, you know. You can get, Bible uses a lot of words like stiff neck, when God was talking about his people, hard-headed, you know, just life kind of like beats you up. But it's like children at a young age, you can tell them there's a big jolly guy coming, big jolly guy wearing a red suit coming down your chimney in December. A lot of them will believe you, right? A certain age, they'll believe that. You tell that to a 40-year-old guy, and he might punch you in the nose and say, get off my property. But the kids are more open. So as why do you think Satan is working overtime to try to corrupt the hearts and minds of the children? Because he knows that too. He knows that they're at that young age when they will accept more things. Being in the bus ministry, we saw many young children saved. You know, Brother Scott was one, right? Yeah, so Satan knows that. So he's trying to corrupt their minds early. You listening, young people? You hear that one? Okay. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The best time, I said, is to get saved would be at a young age, because also you can bypass a lot of years of heartache and sorrow. When my daughter was growing up and she was getting, I think she was 12, I told her, I said, you're getting at a very, there's a part of your life from 13 to 19. It's not a long period, but you can do something in that time and you can alter, mess up your whole life. I mean, there's kids that try drugs and they're no longer here because they tried, what's the newest one? Fentanyl or something like that? Yeah. There was one on the TV, one young man, he was supposed to be a good kid and everything, but he tried it one time, and he died. So you got to avoid these things. Also, there's young ladies who, you know, they not married, they get pregnant, and it alters their life, right? And there's some young men, they join gangs. Some are in prison today. I mean, it would really be sad to be born on this earth and do something, and then you have to spend the rest of your life in prison, right? It's a wasted life. I mean, God didn't create us for that. He created us to do other things. But that's what I say. There's a short period of time, so it's a very short period, but there's a lot of things that can happen. So my advice to the young people, stay close to the Lord. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to your Sunday school class. That's my advice to you. Okay. I can see that young people are excited about that. Okay, let's see. Okay, so remember, you say, well, what if I'm old but I'm not saved? Well, you're never going to be younger than you are right today, right? Tomorrow you're going to be a day older. So if you're not saved, get saved. Number two on the list, our time here on earth is short. We're going to die, right? Nobody likes to think about that, but that is the truth. Psalms 90, verse 10 and 12. See, the days of our years are 70. That's 70, right? And by reason of strength, they may be 80. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So if you're fortunate, I guess you got good health, you have good genes, you don't eat too many cheeseburgers and you work out or whatever, you might hit 70, you might hit 80. But what about all those other people that didn't make that? You know, it's just my wife. She flew away at 45. But we do have hope. You may die or you may be raptured out. So number three would be Jesus is coming back. We all know that, right? Yeah. We're waiting on that. So that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll just read the one so I don't run out of time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, I think it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Those are very comforting, aren't they? I mean, with all the chaos and going on, and you say, I have hope. You know, we're gonna go be with the Lord. So either way, You know, death doesn't really frighten us, really, right, Christian? I think what we don't like is how we may exit, right? I mean, I don't think I want to be in a crocodile's mouth going out, you know? I was watching some movie or something, and then this big snake was squeezing this guy, and I said, oh, your eyeball's going to pop out. You know, I don't want to go out like that either. I want to go out with my eyeballs in my sockets. So I think that's what that kind of worries us, right? We don't have no control over that. But we don't have to worry about where we're going, right? We're going to heaven. We'll be with the Lord. And I will see as many friends, and I have many brothers and sisters up there. Can't wait to see them. And my wife. I better say that. Okay. Number four, God keeps his promises. In Titus 1:2, God says, the Bible says God cannot lie. So what has always been mankind's greatest need? Jesus, right? Salvation. It was God promised his son in Genesis 3:15. So I wrote down John 3:16. And I think I can quote that one. If not, I'll give it to Josh. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm on a roll, so I'm going to keep going. I got messed up now. But God, let's go to John 3:16-17. I had it, and I messed up. My roll stopped real quick. You get nervous when you're up here. John 3:17. Okay, I got it now. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. That was God's purpose, to send his son. And he wanted everyone who would ever be born to believe on his son. Repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. That's what our greatest need is. That's God's promise, and he kept it. Number five, Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And we're supposed to remember that. That's what we just did. Not too long ago, right? Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. But we should do that every day, right? We shouldn't have to wait for once every quarter. I think we do it. But we should do that every day. We should thank God for our salvation. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And another one that we should remember. See, these are things that we should remember. I think we know all these things, but then sometimes they slip. We forget them. No, I do anyway. But we should remember these, and we should be thankful. Luke 23:39. This is the thief on the cross. He remembered when he got saved because he cried out to the Lord. 23:39. Let's just go down here. The first few verses, he was saying that they were guilty and they were getting their just reward. That's repentance. He showed repentance. And in verse 42, he says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Aren't you glad when you called out to the Lord, he remembered you, saved you? That's what he does. Okay, let's move on. Number seven. God wants us to remember to keep his commandments, right? John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then swap those around. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So we can be God's friends if we just obey his commandments. So remember God's commandments. Number eight, remember each other in prayer. And that's what Paul did. He remembered Timothy. So go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 3. And it says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. You know, we got a lot of people to remember in our church to pray for, right? I think it's about everybody, right? I mean, everybody's going through something, whether it's health, whether it could be finances, it could be someone in your family having issues, lost loved ones. So we all should remember each other in prayer. And I told you, I like to try and remember where everybody sits. So I start right here and I go around and I said, I'm glad I don't belong to Lakewood. You know, you've been praying for a long time. anyway, so our church is easier. I can remember each other and where their place is. So don't start sitting somewhere else, okay? So I get messed up easy. Okay, number nine. We should remember others in need, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians 6:20. Okay, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So, what's the Bible says? Blessed are you if you give a person a cup of water, right? I remember I was out visiting one time, and I think that's when we was hanging door knockers on the door when Brother Reynolds was still pastor. And I went to hang one on this guy's door, and he got all bent out of shape. And basically told me, get off my property, you know what I'm saying? And I said, okay, sir. I said, I didn't mean to offend you. I was just going to invite you to church. So anyway, I started walking, and it was one of these U-turns. I did this side, and I was coming back. I saw him running to me, and I said, oh, no. I haven't ran in a long time. I used to run a lot when I was young. But I saw him coming, and I said, oh, no. But he was holding a plastic bottle of water, right? He said, sir, he says, I'm so sorry. He said, I didn't mean to offend you and say those things to you. And he says, here's a cold water. I said, oh, thank you. And I looked back behind him, and his wife was standing at the door. She says, get over there and give that guy some water. So I said, thank you, ma'am. That's just one story. I mean, there's many stories I can tell you about going out and knocking doors. Ugh. Anyway, he had to change of tune when his wife got a hold of him. Okay, number 10. This wasn't really on my list, but I thought maybe the pastor might be listening. So Hebrews 13:7. I thought I better slip this one in. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know, seriously, we should lift up our pastor, his wife, family, right? Because they are going to be attacked first, right? I mean, Satan says, look, if I can knock them out, everybody's going to follow, right? So we really need to lift up our pastor and his family up in prayer each day, because it's a battle. I mean, we fight a lot of things, but like I said, they're on the front line. So we just thank God we have a good pastor and family. Yeah. Okay, I am probably running out of time, so I'm going to pick some. I made a long list. I mean, when I go to studying for a message, I get a lot of information, so I have to pick through it. Let's see, how about guard your heart, right? Jeremiah said the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. The heart is let's see, I can't read my own writing. The heart is deceitfully above all things, and especially is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So that's true, right? I mean, we can't trust our own selves. Psalms 119:11 says, gives us the answer. We should hide God's word in our heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So if we keep God's word fresh and we try to memorize it, it'll guard our hearts from, you know, bad thoughts and things that we might do that's not right. The other one I had is God will repay the wicked. Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So a lot of times we want to handle some business ourselves, but we should not, because God says he'll do it, and he can do it better than we can. And I wrote down another one just in case, with all this going on with Israel, I said, well, maybe Hamas may be listening, right? So I got something for Hamas. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee there by the way and smote the hindmost of them, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land, saith the Lord thy God, giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget it. So what Amalek was doing was when the Israelites was, they had just got out of Egypt, you know, they didn't even know how to hold a sword. There was no shape to fight anybody. So what Amalek did was it came up from behind. Who lags behind when you have a journey? The feeble, the handicapped. Women with small children. Does that sound familiar? Do that. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. Okay. I got one here. God remembers that we are just dust. And I wrote these down in case I was running out of time. Psalms 103:14. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. And when I read that one, I was thinking of that guy, Pigpen. Y'all remember him and the Charlie Brown, he's walking around, he's got all this dust, and the little girl's hair goes straight or something. I was thinking about that. I was saying, you know what, maybe we should remember that too. Maybe we should remember we're just dust, because what's man's biggest fault is pride, right? Always proud. And I wrote down, okay, so some of the groups we got today, very proud, homosexuals. They're proud in their sin. God's not. The BLM crowd. And why every time, I wonder a lot, when the BLM crowd get together and protest, why do they always have to have a big screen TV on their shoulder, you know? I know it's not theirs, but they like that for some reason. And I was thinking of the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, and I said, well, here's one group that's very proud, the Proud Boys, right? It just said, we're going straight to the heart of the matter, we're proud. I was thinking, well, maybe we need to start a new group, call it the Dust Boys, right? We need to be humble. We need to be humble before the Lord. God hates pride. That was on the top of his list of things he hates, is pride. Another one is remember your testimony. Really, if we forget that, we won't be any good to the Lord, right? How are you going to tell somebody, or how can you invite somebody to church when they say, well, I saw you parked down here at this little club place down here. You know, how are you going to be a witness to somebody or encouragement if you're not living for the Lord? Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We were saved, we were created to serve the Lord and bring honor and glory to him. And if we're not doing that, we're not doing right. If you wanted to be a pastor or a deacon, one of the requirements was, moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without. You have to be in good standing with even the lost, right? Lost shouldn't be able to point a finger at us. I was thinking about David when he had sinned with Bathsheba, God sent Nathan to him to tell him that he had sinned against me, against God. And then he said, Nathan said, howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. See, if we do something wrong, the lost are going to take it, and they're going to blaspheme God because of us. I said, I don't want that to happen. I know none of us like that, right? We want someone to look at us and say, you know, that guy's, he's strange or whatever, but he lives what he believes. And I think that's